بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، respected elders and dear brothers, previously we had spoken about the conversations that will take place on the day of Qiyamah between the people of Jannah, people of Jahannam, and the third group, the people of A'raf, those whose evil deeds and good deeds are equal, and who temporarily won't be placed into Jannah. But eventually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive them and thereafter place them into Jannah. So these are the three groups that will exist on the day of Qiyamah. And in today's lesson, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now speaks about the origination, the inception of this world and of the universe itself, and how Allah Himself created all of this. So Allah says, إِنَّ رَبَّكُمُ اللَّهُ الَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ فِي سِتَّةِ أَيَّامِ ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى عَلَى الْعَرْشِ. That indeed your Rabb is Allah, the one who has created the skies and the earth in 6 days. And here Mufassirin have discussed what is meant by 6 days. Obviously, the concept of days as we know it is dependent on the sun. This is how we get the 24 hours of the day. So it cannot refer to a day which consists of 24 hours, because this creation was done before the sun came into existence. Rather, what is meant is 6 periods of time. And how long these periods of time were, that is in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah created the skies and the earth over these 6 periods of time. And the reason for this, Allah could have created it all at once, with just one command of His. This was within His power, within His capability. But ulama explained that the reason Allah did this gradually over a period of time is to teach us, or to give the lesson to us, that when it comes to important matters, things, significant tasks, then these things should be done gradually with deliberation. A person should not rush and be hasty in doing major important tasks in his life. So Allah created the skies and the earth over these 6 periods of time. ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى عَلَى الْعَرْشِ. Then He settled upon His throne. What is meant by this is that after creating the skies and the earth, Allah now took complete control and authority over His creation. And now Allah began to issue commands and began to take care of the running and the preservation of this creation of His. يُغْشِ اللَّيْلَ النَّهَارَ يَطْلُبُهُ حَثِيثًا. He causes the night to pursue the day, and it then pursues it at a great pace. As we see, when the day starts to come to an end, then darkness begins to come, and very quickly the night then takes over. Likewise, at the end of the night, when the day comes in, then very quickly the day takes over. So this, the alternating of day and night, is also within Allah's control. وَالشَّمْسَ وَالْقَمَرَ وَالنُّجُومَ مُسَخَّرَاتٍ بِأَمْرِهِ. And He has created the sun, the moon, and the stars, which are all subservient to His command. So what Allah is getting across in this verse is that not only has Allah created these heavenly bodies, the skies, the earth, the sun, the moon, the stars, the day, the night, but together with creating it, Allah is also in control of these things. Allah is the one who is taking care of it and ensuring that everything continues to run and function correctly. Ala lahul khalqu wal amr. Now Allah says, Ala. Ala, this word in Arabic, is used when the speaker wants to get the listener's attention. That Ala, listen attentively, listen carefully. Lahul khalqu wal amr. It is His prerogative alone to create and to issue commands. There is nobody who can create in the way Allah creates, and there is nobody who can command and rule in the way Allah rules. Tabarakallahu Rabbul Alameen. Blessed is Allah, the Rabb of all the realms, of all the worlds. Allah is in control of all of this. And thereafter, after introducing Himself as the Creator, as the one who is in control, Allah now gives us guidelines with regard to making dua to Him. How should we call unto Allah? What attribute should we have in our dua? So Allah says, "Udu'u Rabbakum tadarru'an wa khufya." Two qualities that are mentioned in this particular verse, that call unto your Rabb tadarru'an, displaying humility. In other words, humble yourself. Do not be haughty and proud in your dua. Show your humility and your need before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this manner you should make dua, wa khufyatan, and in privacy or in secrecy. In other words, your dua should not be publicized. It is not something that is there for others to see, but that dua which is the most effective is the dua which is made in privacy, where it is only you and Allah, In this way there is more sincerity. A person is genuine in what he is asking. He is not worried about others listening to him. So with these two qualities in mind, that a person displays his humility, he will now declare his weakness before Allah, declare his whatever faults and flaws he may have, and the sins that he has committed, and he will at the same time praise Allah, show Allah's greatness, Allah's majesty. In this way he is declaring his humility, and now in privacy, in secrecy, he is making dua to Allah. إِنَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُعْتَدِينَ Allah says, verily, he does not love those who transgress. So in making dua also, a person should not raise his voice and scream at the top of his voice. One hadith, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam heard a person making dua very loudly. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam told him that you are not calling unto somebody who is deaf, somebody who is hard of hearing. Allah can hear you. There is no need to scream at the top of your voice. Of course, at times dua would be made in public or in congregation at different occasions in the life of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. But primarily, the dua should be made in privacy, and each person makes his dua individually. وَلَا تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ بَعْدَ إِصْلَاحِهَا And do not cause mischief in the earth after Allah has set it straight. In other words, after Allah has created everything, and it has a system and a manner in which it is running, now do not come and cause mischief, bloodshed, and oppression, etc. وَدْعُوهُ خَوْفًا وَطَمَعًا And then Allah gives us two more attributes as far as making dua is concerned. Make dua to him, خَوْفًا Having fear, وَطَمَعًا And having hope. In other words, between these two attributes, a person should have that amount of fear of Allah that prevents him from breaking the commands of Allah. He knows Allah is in control, Allah has power, He can punish me at any time. But at the same time, it should not now cause him to become despondent. وَطَمَعَ He should have hope that I am calling unto Allah, making dua to Him. And definitely He will give me whatever I am asking. He will take care of my problems for me, take care of my needs for me. So these two qualities a person should have as well. Some degree of fear of Allah, that I do not transgress. And together with that, a great amount of hope in Allah, that He will accede to my request. So these four qualities in these two verses. Again, number one, to make dua with humility. Then, in privacy, alone, a person and Allah alone. And then to have some degree of fear and some degree of hope. And finally, Allah ends off by saying, إِنَّ رَحْمَةَ اللَّهِ قَرِيبٌ مِّنَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ That verily, the mercy of Allah is very close to those who do good. So despite Allah speaking about fear and hope, Allah now shows us that our hope should be slightly more than the fear. Because the mercy of Allah is close to, Allah could have said that the punishment of Allah and the mercy of Allah can come upon you. But He chose to highlight His mercy. Allah's mercy is close to those who do good. So this again is encouragement for a person to do good deeds and to become a recipient of the mercy of Allah. Allah give us tawfiq and correct understanding. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.